This is The After Party, live with Kim McAllister and John Daly.
That's right. That's right. It's Wednesday. Sorry for the late start. I found a story at the last minute, and I just threw it in. Had to do it, and it's about COVID, but it's a weird story, and we'll do it in a minute here.
Happy hump day, partiers. Woohoo!
Happy hump day. Do people still say that? What day is it?
Hump day. Here we go. And you know what else it is? Weird News Wednesday.
Weird News Wednesday. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. And we have a special treat today. Our lead story is a weird news story.
Yeah. I don't know how this guy is 70 years old. It seems like he should have croaked long ago. 70? He must have a really good cardiologist because this man from Wisconsin.
We're not talking about Donald Trump. No, he's. No.
This guy from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Donald Gorski, has eaten a Big Mac just about every day of his life. All right?
What?
This guy ate more than 700 Big Macs in 2023.
I know we're not supposed to ask questions, but since he's wearing what looks like a uniform, is he an employee? Is he way too enthusiastic?
I don't think he works there.
Sorry.
He might work there. I don't know.
I shouldn't have asked questions before the presentation.
Say if he works there. Maybe he just likes to dress up in McDonald's garb.
Yeah, that's not
weird. Here's what I do know, all right?
Okay.
He's now got the Guinness World Record because his lifetime total of Big Macs consumed is 34,128. This guy has eaten.
Could you say that
34,128 Big Macs, and he's still upright and telling the tale. Does it not
Winning.
Seem to you? I mean, he doesn't look like. I mean, maybe his body's got good metabolism. He doesn't look too tubby, because you know, usually when you have the Big Mac, you have a little extra calories and some.
Well,
fries
he probably has a lot of visceral fat, you know, the bad kind of fat inside his body.
I think he's been trying
his organs.
For this records. Maybe he does.
Yeah. A lot of people look healthy on the outside. That doesn't mean they're healthy on the inside.
Yeah. He has saved every receipt and package from every Big Mac he's ever eaten.
Is he trying to write him off on his taxes?
Can you imagine how many Big Mac wrappers you have? And where do you keep 34,100? I mean, I would have a problem trying
like
to find space
this
for...
This is obviously a mental disease or mental issue.
I don't
issue.
Know. I was going to say, I would have trouble finding space for 128 Big Mac wrappers. He's got 34,128 Big Mac wrappers and receipts. His first Big Mac he ate? 1972.
Nick says he needs a better hobby.
In that moment, when he took a bite of his first Big Mac, he said, I'm probably going to eat these for the rest of my life. I threw
really
the
weird.
Cartons in the back seat, and I started counting them from day one.
You know, I worked at McDonald's. That's how I got my big start.
He would have been your best customers.
As they used to say on the Trayliner, like they'd have these profiles of people in business and successful people, and they're like, I got my start at McDonald's. And I knew one day I'd be like, you know what, McDonald's? I have a profile for you. Oh, I started here, and now I have a YouTube show.
That's it.
Right? Right?
He says he's held the record since 1999, but he said his eating habits have changed a little over time. He used to eat up to...
extra sauce?
Listen to this. He used to eat up to 9 of the sandwiches a day.
Oh, that's so gross. Do you know how many calories are in those things?
9 Big Macs a day. I'm not even joking you.
Oh, my God. How is he alive?
I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying.
Each Big Mac has 563 calories.
Oh, my God. These days, he can't put down 9, but he usually stops at 2 Big Macs a day.
Think about that, though. That's over 5,000 calories, just the Big Macs. I'm sure that's not the only thing he's consuming. He's probably having regular Coke, too, and fries. 5,000, you're supposed to, what's the average, the healthy caloric range was something around 2,000? I think for a man, it's like 2,000, something like that?
Maybe those 2 Big Macs fit very well into his scheme.
It's so gross.
He said, people who have watched me eating a Big Mac often comment that I look like I'm eating one for the very first time. And oh, this, you know, before you say
this guy has like a basement. He has a basement and there are people there. probably the Hamburglar. He has people.
That's right, the Hamburglar. He said he's not opposed to trying new things. He once did venture out to Burger King and tried a Whopper. That was back in 1984. But he said it just didn't hit the same spot. So when he likes something, I stick with it, he says, all the time. And he said this, John Daly. He has not suffered any ill health effects from his unusual diet. And he said he maintains his physique by abstaining from French fries. Many people...
Oh, well, that's the trick.
Many people, he said, thought I'd be dead by now. But instead, I've been a record holder for my 24th year. One of Guinness World Records' longest running record holders. So that's pretty cool to me, he said.
This gives a whole new meaning to long hair, don't care.
Long hair, don't care. Eat another Big Mac.
It looks like he got his hair cut, or those are the older photos, maybe.
It must be the older photos.
Oh, no, because the world record photo, I think, is the blue shirt.
Yeah. Oh, is that the new one?
So it's made of 100% Big Mac, right? Oh, and he didn't like the Whopper because he wanted it his way. You know who else has a record? Wes Theory.
Wes!
Woo! Thank you, Wes. I think that'll almost get you a Big Mac.
I think so. I was just going to say, I think Wes just bought us a Big Mac.
Although the price has gone up. Mm. I have so many McDonald's stories, but the relevant story that comes to mind is the owner of the Petaluma Plaza McDonald's. I worked at the one on the west or the east side of town. And it was not corporate owned. It was locally owned by a guy who owned one in Nevada, owned Petaluma. Mm-hmm. The owner would come in every day, get a small vanilla shake. I think it was a 6-piece chicken nuggets or maybe a 9-piece. And then French fries. Every day he came in.
Oh, God.
Until he had a heart attack and died.
Did he really have a heart attack and die?
He had a heart attack and died.
Oh, Jesus. Wes. He said, I eat my Big Macs in pieces. Top bun first. Eat my way down in layers.
The funniest thing about this, I think, is that I don't think the Big Mac's good. I don't know. Do you guys have an opinion on the Big Mac? Every time I eat it, and I have one like every 5 years, maybe every 10 years.
Yeah.
It reminds me, oh, I don't like this.
I don't eat fast food meat. After the whole pink slime debacle, I stopped eating anything. Mama,
just
day
the
three
flavor
boys.
Of it, the flavor of it. And it's a lot of bread. Mm. It, you know, it's bun, burger, bun, burger, bun.
Mama Day Three Boys says, the pick on the top left makes me uncomfortable.
On the top right?
She said top left. Maybe it's
but
on
the one with the long hair, I imagine.
Yeah, I think so. I can see why that would make you. Angel in the Bay Area wants to know if those pass quickly. Maybe. Yeah, he must be burning a lot of calories. Or maybe he just has a weird metabolism.
A freakish metabolism. I don't like the flavor of it. It's like this... it's supposed to be like a kind of like a Thousand Island, but on a hamburger, it just tastes weird in the texture. It's got kind of a gelatinous goo to it. You know, the Big Mac sauce. I would like to hear from people in the chat. Like, do you actually enjoy a Big Mac? Because I'm not super picky, but it's kind of gross to me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, thank you. Pauline says, oh, Deborah, thank you for the $10 super sticker.
Thank you,
really
Deborah.
Nice.
That will definitely get us a combo meal.
Who's that a picture of in her? Is that an actor?
Is it Navalny, I think.
Oh, it's Alexei Navalny, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Pauline, McDonald's gives me a headache. Ooh, Mars doesn't like the McRib either.
Mm. Thank you, Deborah. We appreciate it.
Deborah, that's really awesome. We appreciate it. Nick says I'll have one maybe once a year.
Yeah, but do you really enjoy it? Like, do you walk away from it thinking, wow, that was really good? Yeah. When I walk away from In-N-Out, I'm like, oh, that burger is really good. The fries, but the burger is really good, right? And the way that I talk, I think I give you the false impression that I eat it all the time. I just have it like, I eat really like a healthy diet. It's just that because I eat a healthy diet every day, I'm allowed to cheat. My doctor said I'm allowed to cheat like once every couple weeks.
Well, if your doctor said, then, you know.
But you think about it. As long as you're not eating every day and you're not eating 34,000 of these things, I think you're okay if you have one once in a while.
34,128.
Mm. 11,000.
780. Sandy says, I honestly don't think I've ever even had a Big Mac. Never had any interest. If I want to get a burger, I'll go to a sit-down restaurant, not fast food. Yeah. I can't. No, thank you.
Yeah, if I'm going to take the hit to my health, I want it to be most of the time In-N-Out because it's fresh. It's never been frozen.
Oh my gosh. First of all, Lori says she's never eaten any meat from McDonald's or Burger King. The shakes, the pies, the fries, the onion rings. Yes. And Heather says the McDonald's in my hometown used to have lobster rolls in the summer for $7 and they were decent.
I had the lobster roll in Boston in the year 2000. It was the first time I'd ever flown on a plane, landed in Boston. And I started doing a thing because I worked at McDonald's, you know, in high school. I would always order the exotic thing from that locale. Especially in Europe, they have a lot of kind of strange options. And like in Southeast Asia, I mentioned the durian McFlurry. But every time I see something, like when I was in Romania, Bulgaria with my friend, like we'd order whatever was unique to that country.
They had Tsai Min at the McDonald's in Hawaii.
What's that?
They have Tsai Min at the McDonald's in Hawaii.
No, what is that?
Oh, it's noodles, like a noodle dish. Oh, okay.
Very cool. Well, anyway, that's a preview of Weird Wednesday to come.
Yeah.
Please leave a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you're using. If you get if you're listening to the audio podcast, it'll help bump up the show's visibility as we grow the show. And here's the story that I added at the last minute. Kim, what is this?
Okay, I was reading this earlier as well. This story, I don't know why you would do this. Why you would think that this would be a good idea, but
it might be. It might be related to the first story. It might be a hoarding thing. It might be a OCD compulsive thing.
Something is good. I'm going to have it every day, and I'm going to have a lot of it. This man got 217 COVID vaccines.
What?
Yeah, he's 62. He's German.
He's still alive.
He is, actually, as a matter of fact. He got 130 of these shots within a 9-month time frame.
How did they even allow that? Like, how?
Okay, I don't even know.
I'll hold my questions.
Why he would do it. It's unclear why he wanted so many vaccinations or how he got them. But what has happened is that because he got so many, he's become a subject of research. So scientists are now looking at him and going, okay, well, what happens when you get 230 COVID vaccines in a 217 rather,
what
in a very short
this?
Time? Germany.
And they're not tracking? Aren't they tracking?
Well, the reason they kind of figured it out is he got 130 shots in 9 months, and they figured that out during an investigation into fraud. Ultimately, they didn't file any criminal charges. So I don't know if every time you get a vaccine, your insurance pays out. I don't know how, like what, in what fraud context this happened.
But I think in most countries, there's like a national register. Like California has the registry, right? Every
you
government
be able
has a
to,
registry.
Yeah. Well, what they wanted to see is how all of these vaccines, 217, affected his immune system. And the guy says, he had no side effects from the shots. He volunteered to give blood and saliva samples to scientists. He said they could sift through his health records, whatever, so that they could better understand how stimulating the immune system with COVID vaccines, what effect that might have. So even what's interesting is, and this might be a mental health thing, even during the analysis, he requested and received additional 2 COVID vaccines against the advice of the researchers.
This is some kind of OCD thing.
They're like, dude, you don't need it, okay? But because he went off the rails and did this wacky thing, it was a unique opportunity for scientists to see whether something they call hypervaccination would positively or negatively affect the immune system's ability to respond to pathogens like viruses. And they said they didn't know what 200 vaccines would actually do to you. So they looked into it.
Because nobody had done it before, right?
Because no one's ever seen anything like
this. Chris Allen saying he was hoping for an X-Men mutation.
Something. He was doing something. I don't know what he's doing. What they said is that they didn't find any benefit to him to have done this. He wasn't more immune than anyone else was.
Marcin, from having, he's the reason Pfizer made 35 billion net profits.
Yeah. researchers looked at his immune system. They say it showed no sign it had dealt with the virus yet. He was likely never, SARS-CoV-2, that he was never infected with it.
SARS-CoV-2.
They say they don't think people should be doing this hyper vaccination. And they don't assume that because he hyper vaccinated.
If hyper vaccination is for you.
Yeah, right. So here's the conclusion overall, okay? While the man's excessive vaccination history did increase his antibody levels and apparently protected him from infection, hyperactivating his immune system did not seem to have any negative effect on his ability to mount an adequate response. At the same time, his extreme measures did not seem to afford him a level of super immunity or anything that distinguished his response dramatically from others who just followed the recommended vaccine protocol. So it didn't really do him that much good. His immune
didn't they
system.
Say something about the memory, like it boosted the T cells.
Yeah, a
but
little
it didn't
bit.
Boost. It didn't the, boost the memory T cells.
The overall conclusion is that his immune system was neither positively or negatively impacted by this.
I wonder if this is because it's mRNA and it's new technology. Maybe that they just didn't know, right, what impact it would have, right? And this is something novel, right? This is something new.
Yeah. I mean, I guess have one, and you know, one is the same as.
Do you think
I don't
his body
it's
was
the
like,
same as 217? But why would you do
was
that?
Like, we're still getting that spam. We get it. We get it. We understand COVID. Got it.
It's like those old AOL discs that they sent out. They're like, can you just chuck it out?
Yeah, I got it. I got it the first 100 times. Jesus
Christ. Oh my
God. Christ.
Yeah.
Moving on. We're a little behind on time, but that's okay because we're having fun. I wanted to mention California is going to stay drought-free through 2025 because of two winters of epic storms. This is according to AccuWeather, the experts at AccuWeather. And you know what? It's in the name, accurate. Mm-hmm. Their meteorologists have high confidence that widespread drought conditions will remain absent in California through 2025 and potentially beyond. Look at this. On the screen here are the big reservoirs. They're all in the 100 plus, except for Castaic. They're like Shasta's at 113% compared to historical average. Oroville, 132%. Folsom, 127%. Don Pedro, 112%. Millerton at 104% of historic average, and Castaic at 98%. This is good news. Check out this photo.
You know what it doesn't mean, though? It doesn't mean that
you should waste water.
No. It doesn't mean that you should still let the faucet run while you're brushing your teeth. Doesn't mean that.
The problem is the people who care already care.
Yeah.
And the people like my roommate, did I call somebody out, who aren't good about turning off lights and conserving water and recycling properly. Mm-hmm. Either care or you don't care, unfortunately. But look at this reservoir. Look at the difference. This is the houseboats here.
Wow, that's crazy.
You see on the left, this is the new photo on the left and the old photo on the right. That's cool. Good news. Yeah. I mean, it's good news in the interim, but you're right. Everyone should conserve always.
And here's the thing. John writes, water prices get lower then?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Mindy
like that.
Says, no, water prices are still going to be high.
No.
Yeah, once they get your money for the extras, they're not going to lower the price of it.
And to be fair to them, it is complex because most of the money goes to maintaining the system, right? The aging system and the infrastructure and the bonds to pay off, you know, the breaking pipes and the delivery systems. It's very expensive to run a water system. And they will adjust, like they adjusted the rates because people weren't using as much water, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the drought. Then they adjusted the rates, right? So they're going to get their money one way or another.
Gordon's going to flush guilt-free.
I've been you know, I still, unless I have guests over, I don't flush unless I have to, if you know what I mean. Because I'm trying to conserve water, but if I have guests coming over, it's a little gross. So,
yeah. Regarding the vaccines, Lori says, you know what? You don't know because it hasn't been long enough, probably, that wait a few years and he might see that there's some type of effect from that vaccine.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we can have a combo deal, like get your Big Mac and a COVID shot. See what happens. Right? Just make it a combo deal.
Oh, man. Okay, let's talk about this case because we yesterday talked about the bunker being built on Kauai by Mark Zuckerberg. And we mentioned that we were going to follow this story up because Salesforce billionaire Mark Benioff.
Wait, so this is a Hawaii billionaire follow-up?
It's a Hawaii billionaire follow-up.
Or an HBFU.
There you have it. Yeah. He's facing some criticism. And so what does he do when he faces criticism?
Throw money at it.
Yeah, $150 million donation to hospitals. You know, just because they want to make
you
feel... That's
what rich people
do. Yeah, feel better about me.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Yeah, so he's... You know what I like about the story is I like I like the investigative journalists. This is a journalist at NPR, right? Mm-hmm. The way that she was very honest about like the interactions with him and how he started getting squirrely and nervous and contacting
squirrely
her boss.
And nervous and doing, but then she found out that he was looking into her and doing research into her.
And
he did not want what she was reporting to be made public.
And some of it was creepy. If you mm-hmm. read the article on NPR, he knew details about her. He knew details about her family. And do you see the quote there? She says something like, "Oh, why do you know that?" And he said something to the effect of like, "You have your job and I have mine."
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way you talk to a reporter. Like,
that's
how would you feel
out of a horror movie.
As a reporter, if you're reporting on something and somebody had all the details, like your kids,
I would be oogged out. I would be definitely creeped out.
Like he crossed a line. And I think when you're that far removed from, you know, everyday reality, you don't realize like, oh, you're going to regret that.
Well, in January, NPR reported Benioff was very quietly amassing this enormous property portfolio in Hawaii that he'd recently snapped up inland parcels. That brought concern from residents in Hawaii that they were going to be priced out of their homes. And
rightfully
that's a valid
so.
Concern.
Yeah, that's a real concern.
In most of the cases, he paid a premium for the land that he picked up. One bakery in Waimea closed down after they got an offer they couldn't refuse, 50% above market value for their bakery.
Yeah, and apparently he was doing that with most of the purchases. And by the way, this is Waimea Bay. So this is Waimea. This is the north. This is the north shore of the Big Island.
The NPR reporter said Benioff, who gave her extensive details about his philanthropic work, became visibly nervous when pressed for information about what he wanted to do with all these properties. We get that you're buying it. What are you going to do with all this, right? She also implied that he tried to intimidate her after he became concerned about the angle of her article. She said this: "He called me. He demanded to know the title of this piece. He also mentioned he knew the exact area where I was staying. Unnerved, I asked how he knew. He said, 'It's my job. You have a job. I have a job.'" During the interview, he brings up more personal details about the reporter, the reporter's family. He has not commented on this. We do know also that apparently he called the head of NPR, was it? Or PBS or something.
The CEO of NPR.
Yeah, tried to, I don't know if he tried to sway whether this article would come out.
He wanted to know what the story was about, and he probably tried to
He wanted to know the title of it, too.
Right, mm-hmm. and she mentions in the article that the news department at NPR is separated editorially, right? The CEO can't influence them.
Yeah.
Officially.
Well, the Hilo Medical Center put out a press release, I guess, as well as the Hawaii Pacific Health and UCSF Health. They say that they are fortunate to have been part of the Hawaii community for decades, and they're happy to be able, the Benioffs say this, that they're happy to be able to support the community in this way with a $150 donation to hospital. So it's almost like what we're doing with this
million.
Hand, look over here, we have something shiny. Yeah.
$150 million, not $150.
$150 million, yeah, $150 million.
I'll donate $150 if it gets me the naming rights. You know what? Maybe he is altruistic, but you know what? Well, you can't take your word for it. And based on his behavior, I think he's nervous about something. And this reminds me of the California Forever movement, the group, the billionaires that's trying to create the city in Solano County.
Yeah.
Dude, like you need to come clean. Like if you really care about your image and your legacy, come clean.
Hasn't Mark Benioff donated a lot of money, not only to UCSF and Oakland's Children's Hospital, which I think is called now Benioff Children's Hospital or something, but also to the homeless crisis in San Francisco and to San Francisco City Schools. So he is a big donator.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy and he does a lot of good work, but you know, a lot of people try to do damage control. You know, who's the guy that left all the money for the libraries when he died?
Oh, I don't remember.
My mind is blanking.
Guggenheim, Rockefeller.
It's not Rockefeller. He established libraries. He's a nasty person, right? And so he created all these free libraries across the United States. Somebody in the chat knows. You know, like it's like his legacy, right? So if he is doing the right thing, and if he isn't doing something harmful to the locals, then if you really care about your legacy, you need to come clean. That's what I think.
Kathleen
Carnegie.
Thinks it's Astor. Oh, it's a Carnegie.
Carnegie. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Karen said Carnegie.
There's one in Petaluma. the museum.
The Carnegie Library, yeah.
It's that old Carnegie Library.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The building is beautiful.
Mm. That was to clean up his image after he died.
Regarding the California Forever people, Deidre says those guys in Solano County are jerks. They're suing the small farmers who won't sell out. Really? Yeah.
But this is part of this bigger trend of billionaires throwing a lot of money, doing mysterious things, buying up huge tracts of land. And I think this is an ongoing concern. Mm-hmm. And I think this is not the last of it. We're going to hear more about, you know, these bunkers and these billionaires doing strange things. Yeah. And I think it's a legitimate concern, when, especially in Hawaii, where you have limited property. Yeah. And it's beautiful, and we need to be respectful to Hawaiians, as we talked about yesterday. I think this is something that we need to keep top of mind.
Karen says the Hilo Medical Center is going to become the Benioff Medical Center, linked with two other hospital systems, including UCSF, probably, right?
But I don't like the idea of buying people off. I mean, it's good that for the hospital benefit, but for him to be able to pressure them and pressure politicians, say, hey, you know, I upgraded your hospital, let me do whatever I want. You know, that's kind of icky.
Can we move to animals now?
Yeah, we're late, so let's get to animals. We don't want to keep our animals waiting.
No, we don't, especially the whales.
Yeah, so this whale story is interesting. We can move through these quickly.
It's a gray whale. They thought this species of gray whale was extinct in the Atlantic Ocean. But after 200 years, it's seen in Nantucket. Yay! Yeah. It was spotted off the coast of Massachusetts recently. They say it's an incredibly rare event. The species they thought was extinct for more than 200 years in the Atlantic Ocean. But scientists from the New England Aquarium were flying about 30 miles south of Nantucket Friday when they saw this whale diving and resurfacing repeatedly. It looked like it was maybe feeding. They circled above it for about 45 minutes. They took a bunch of pictures to confirm whether or not it was this rare gray whale. They say, I didn't want to say it out loud because it seemed crazy, because they thought this thing is gone, but no, it's back. They're easily distinguished from other species because they don't have dorsal fins, and they have
because
they're gray, and they have certain features in their skin and dorsal hump. All right.
Great whales. Speaking of features, Heather says, I feel a dork joke coming on.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening.
There once was a gray whale from Nantucket.
His dork was so long I could.
He said,
Gray whales are regularly seen in the northern Pacific Ocean. They've been extinct from the Atlantic Ocean since the 18th century. So there have been 5 sightings in the Atlantic and the Mediterranean waters over the last 15 years. Aquarium scientists say the one they saw Friday was likely the same whale that was seen off the coast of Florida about 15 years ago, but it's very rare in the Atlantic Ocean. So they're all very excited.
Walter's asking 50 Shades of Gray Whale.
Yeah, that's funny. They think that this animal maybe coming back to this area is an impact of climate change. New England Aquarium scientists believe climate change is responsible for these sightings over the last 15 years in the Atlantic and Mediterranean. They say the Northwest Passage connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans above Canada has been ice-free in recent summers, allowing these whales to pass through. So cool that it's back and that they're seeing it again. The reason might not be as good, right?
Yeah. Mama Day 3 boys. I'm tickled my useless knowledge is now in all your brains. I would argue that it is useful knowledge. We need to know about dorks.
We do indeed.
But we need to move quickly. So quickly, yes. There's no time. I'm going to go right to this video. This is a story about a snake in a car. The funny thing is we previously did a story about a snake in a car, remember?
Yeah.
And I tried to save this video into our system as snake in a car. And it's like, you already have a video named snake in a car. So this is snake in a car too. Here it is. Check it out.
Phoenix is surrounded by desert, but many Arizonans go nearly their whole lives without ever seeing a rattlesnake out of captivity. Unfortunately for Milan Watt, she found one in a place she was never expecting.
First a laugh and then panic, and I lost my mind. No warning rattled, not even a hiss.
And he turned around and he had seen a tongue kind of like flipping at him.
Milan Watt says she wouldn't have realized a rattlesnake was curled up in the back seat of her car, except her boyfriend happened to look behind him.
He's like, get out of the car. And so I freeze up because I'm like, when I get scared, I freeze.
Not knowing what to do, Watt called 911, but says she was told firefighters couldn't help since it wasn't a life-threatening emergency. Her boyfriend used a broken tree branch to fling the reptile free.
In a state where there's lots of critters and lots of things that can get into small spaces, personal spaces, to know what to do in that situation and who to call.
If you find a snake in your home or your car.
In a car, that's pretty unusual. Snakes, they're really, really good at getting just about anywhere they want to go.
There are wildlife rescues and even companies who will come to remove it 24/7.
Put it in the bucket and then, very carefully put the lid back on.
Nicholas Massimo with Snake Guru recommends people back away to a safe distance, but try to keep eyes on the snake until help arrives.
Very slow, calm movements. Try to not do anything that's really jerky and fast that can startle an animal.
They'll relocate the snake and even figure out why it might have slithered there in the first place.
Most of the time, it's there for a reason, whether that's food, water, or shelter.
A snake in Watt's car was likely a one-off chance.
We got real comfortable in that car. That snake made its home in there.
But she'll be checking under the seats every time she gets behind the wheel anytime soon.
I don't know what I would have done if I saw while I was driving. I would have crashed the car.
Okay, that's it. Not that we have a lot of snakes around here, but I'm adding snake expert to my cell phone.
I love the camera shot when she's in the car and then she turns around. Yeah, that's great.
Would you consider a professional cinematography?
It was small market news, but that's
my
pretty funny.
My friend Nico actually worked at that station. That's NBC 12 in Phoenix. And that's what you do. You start there and, pardon me,
work your way
and
up.
You move to a different market. So
yeah,
that's how it works.
I'll answer this question from Karen, who wants to know about the scorpion that stung the man in the testicles at the Venetian in Las Vegas. I did talk about it on the Mark Thompson show. And sometimes John might not be privy to all the things on all the shows, but if I know we've talked about something on another show and that we've done it at length, then I'll try not to do it here.
Yeah, Luis actually sent it in, and I thanked Luis. Thank you, Luis, for sending it in. But because it was covered on another show,
The stuff that we cover here to be fresh. And for the most part, it is. There's sometimes
100%
where
organic,
we overlap. But yeah,
gluten-free.
I want it to be gluten-free and fresh, straight hot out of the oven for you. So here we go. Oh, this is, what is this? A stranded raccoon.
Oh, no.
It was rescued from
Ranger Rick
on top of a utility pole.
He needs your help.
Oh, this poor guy. You would think, though, that he would be on top of a utility pole. If he got up there, he should be able to get down. They have
I think they were concerned that
claws.
He wasn't okay. He wasn't okay.
He was on top of this hydro pole in Ontario. He was up there for about 2 days. And residents said, they were afraid that he was going to get electric shocks from the utility equipment. So InPower, who is in control of this infrastructure, was contacted. They closed off the power to the area. I'm sorry, we have to turn off your power because there's a raccoon on the pole.
And PG&E would have just burned it down.
PG&E would have been like, I'll leave the raccoon up there. We can't have anything affecting our income over here. But they used a long pole, you can see here, to gently nudge the raccoon and reorient the raccoon so that he could safely come down from his perch. This isn't the first time something like this has happened, but it is a case of humans doing nice things for animals in the world, and we do like to highlight that. And everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Rescuer's okay. Raccoon's okay.
Apparently, I was reading through that story and the raccoon was disoriented. So, people might think, why didn't he just go down? And there's a video that I didn't have time to edit, but he scurries down once he's guided. He was just disoriented. Yeah. And I think there was concern that maybe he was getting like mini shocks through the pole.
Yeah.
Something was disorienting him. That's why he didn't go down on his own. I'm going to put our last story back in the fridge.
Oh, no.
I know you like fresh content, but we'll put it back in the fridge, and we'll tease it. So we'll, okay. Tomorrow we'll have a story about hybrid pigs in British Columbia.
Oh.
How about that for a tease?
I do like it. We'll talk about pigs tomorrow. If you could click like on the show, everybody at once, click the like button. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe to the After Party Live as well. We are on our way to 2,000 subscribers. And yeah, I know it's right. Not a lot when you consider the subscription numbers for other shows, but it's a lot for us, and we're just going to keep plugging away and making this happen. So please click like, please click subscribe, and if you could help us by sharing the show as well, post it on YouTube, Facebook, X, whatever it is. Not post it on YouTube, but other places. You know what I mean. We would appreciate
Let's take a break and then come back and do our Weird News Wednesday
straight ahead on the After Party Live.
Okay, by popular demand, here he is again.
The After Party Live is underwritten by our audience, and without you, this show wouldn't be possible. For $1 a day, you could help feed a very moody 3-year-old cat with a taste for turkey and chicken. Every day across this world, cats go 30 minutes without food and don't know where to turn. Any dollar amount is appreciated, and it all adds up. The PayPal link can be found in the About section of the YouTube channel or at the bottom of the show description. Thank you for your consideration.
Are you hungry? You want food?
A party where you don't even have to leave the house. You could be naked for all we care. The After Party, live.
Hey,
we have people to thank. It.
Yes, we have people to thank, because you guys warm my heart by how much you support the show. Ongoing contributor Prakash S. and Karen K., Jim S. and Pamela K., who, by the way, is going to be our sponsor for Travel Tuesday next week, Pamela K. So thank you for that. We appreciate the way that you support the show and show us the love. So thank you for it so much.
And we want to thank Wes T for a $5 super sticker. We want to thank Deborah for a $10 super sticker. And now, this just in, Angel in the Bay Area, kitty food, $10.
Thank you.
Speaking of Archie, this is, you know, Archie and I talked, and he said he wanted to film a thank you message. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, not all our filming sessions go exactly according to plan, but this is Archie's response to all your generosity here.
Archie. Archie, do you want to say thank you? Archie, do you want food? Do you want a treat? Do you want to say thank you for the contributions?
Archie, shut down the press conference.
Treat? Yes. Thank you? Not interested.
No. Not at this point.
Well,
but
thank you on behalf of Archie.
I know he's appreciative.
That's really funny. Okay, Weird News Wednesday. Ooh, we need an intro.
Yeah.
Weird News Wednesday.
Ooh, thank you. That was good.
And now, Kim McAllister.
I love this story because the couple times I've been to Legoland in Carlsbad, we've had a great time. It's really expensive, so we probably won't be going there again. But at Legoland, they had a gathering, and it was another Guinness Book World Record. Whoa. Look at all the people. They're dressed in dinosaur costumes. They all gathered here at one place at Legoland. 1,273 people, and it is a Guinness World Record. Mm-hmm. It was a dance party, they say, of prehistoric proportions. It's so funny. Everybody has a lot of people have the inflatable dinosaur costumes, yeah. But some people just had regular old dinosaur costumes. The last record was 252 people in Los Angeles. That was in 2019.
Do you see the one under Legoland, the sign? Is that a character maybe from a Nintendo video game or something? That the one kind of looks like a fish dinosaur? the light green? Those are kind of creepy.
I think it's from a certain cartoon.
Oh, it's a cartoon?
Yeah, I don't know.
They look a little creepy.
They do look a little creepy. They have that weird, like, innocent doll face that
I'm going to kill you.
That's exactly right. Yes. So here's how it went. It was 252 people in dinosaur costumes in Los Angeles in 2019. Then last year, there was an event in Saskatchewan where 1,187 people put on their dinosaur costumes. That one wasn't certified by the Guinness people, though. The Legoland Dinosaur Dance Party was held in anticipation of the park's new Dino Valley area, which officially opens later this month, March 22nd, if you have little ones and you want to head down there. Here's a tip. I have a tip, a Legoland tip. If you go to Legoland, California, you must stay in the Legoland Hotel. It is better than the Legoland Park, and it is expensive. Really expensive. I mean, well, for me, it's expensive. I think $400 a night to stay at a hotel is expensive.
That's that, to expensive me is... for everyone besides Mark Benioff.
Okay,
and,
good. Because I didn't,
Zuckerberg.
I mean, I don't want to seem cheap, but that to me is exorbitant. However,
it's not about being cheap. It's about, like, is that really a return on the investment? Like, is
in
that
this
how you
case,
want to spend your money?
In this case, it's all part of the experience. They have movies at the pool. They have dance parties in the elevator. They have a dance party downstairs at night. They have Lego making competitions in the lobby. They have little treats of Legos that you have to crack a code in the morning, and your kids have to follow clues to get their daily Lego. They have a great
buffet. If you have kids and the means,
yeah,
then maybe it makes sense. Like, Wes and I are on the same page. There's a Legoland here in Florida, but never had the thought to go. I don't have kids.
It's not worth it.
I lived in San Diego for a couple of years. I never thought to go because it's just not of interest to me.
No, it wouldn't be. But if you have kids, don't stay at a cheap hotel nearby. If you're going to go. And at least pony up for one night at the Legoland Hotel. Because the experience is really fun. That's all I'll say.
Must be nice growing up in the McAllister household.
What did I say? I said we're not going back anytime soon.
I know, but growing up in my family, it was like my dad like threw us in the back of the Toyota pickup truck, and that's how we went down to Disneyland back in the day in the 80s,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed at a motel, not a Motel 6, but whatever motel across from Disneyland. And we didn't get any food in the park. I feel like your kids are getting a very nice childhood.
It's
and I'm
possible.
Jealous.
I think we do less, but when we do something, we do it up, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we're not taking vacations all the time, as you can tell. But when we do go on vacation, then we'll, you know, we saved so that we can.
Yeah. My family is more about like camping in Yosemite or something.
Indulge. Yeah.
Next up on the Weird News Wednesday lineup, this is kind of strange. A diver has found about 200 Apple Watches in Indiana lakes.
Are they waterproof?
You think, right? Isn't that one of their claims? Or water resistant? I'm not sure exactly. I'm not an Apple enthusiast beyond my iPhone. An Illinois diver who recovered about 200 watches, Apple Watches, from the bottom of lakes as a warning for owners, don't go swimming with the original watch bands. This guy out of Port Barrington is a scuba driver, and he makes his living using...
A scuba driver?
He's a scuba driver. Sorry, I was looking over at my phone.
No, it's funny.
A scuba on the Gulf Coast. He's a scuba diver who makes a living using his metal detector to recover lost items from the water at Indiana's Chain O' Lakes. And he said he found about 200 smartwatches during these dives. He operates a scuba bear diving recovery service and said nearly all of the watches have their original bands attached. The ones with the sports bands, they do not stay on in the water. So he said he was hired to find some of the watches while others he came across during his own dives. He said he keeps everything he finds in the water in the hopes of returning them to their owners. I haven't sold anything, including a white gold Cartier ring, unless I get it back to the owner. Then he sells it to them. Langos said other items he frequently finds underwater are smartphones, rings, jewelry, and prescription glasses.
So interesting.
Next up.
Cotton swabs. There's a academic kind of person at Cambridge who was
locked.
That
tends to happen.
Yeah, that's where they hang out, right? The smart person got locked in a bathroom. Hey, if you're so smart, how'd you get locked in the bathroom? Well, in order to get out, they MacGyvered it and used a cotton swab and eyeliner to get out of the bathroom of a medieval tower. So the person, Christina Ilko, who's 33, was in this medieval tower for 7 hours. Apparently, she resides in the rooms once occupied by 16th century philosopher Desiderius Erasmus at the Queen's College.
I thought you were going to say Rapunzel.
No. That would be me. I'm Rapunzel, right? She heard this heavy wooden door in the windowless bathroom click and lock behind her. She thinks the door's latch was broken by a plumber who recently worked on her shower. Nevertheless, she finds herself locked in the room, and it wasn't due to be cleaned again until Monday. So she's trying to remember how long someone can survive on just water. She's hoping, she said, that she didn't die in there. That seems a little dramatic. She said, if people came looking for me, would they check the bathroom?
Panic probably set in.
Yeah, I would imagine. She said her initial attempts to escape were fruitless. I tried to bang on the shower head, on the door, break it with brute force, shout for help. Nothing worked and no one could hear me. So then she thought about the show MacGyver, which was one of her favorites.
MacGyver!
Who turned everyday objects into useful tools. So she used a cotton swab to fashion a hook, and she used an eyeliner pencil to push down on the latch so that she could pick the lock. The method freed this student, a postdoc student, from the bathroom after about 7 hours. She said, I was really happy and also quite proud that I could use my wit to get out. I felt relief, absolutely. And now she is a campus legend. Sometimes when I hear sounds around here, I joke, it's the ghost of Erasmus. And then I thought I was going to join him and become a Cambridge legend. But no, she escaped.
There you go. Congratulations. You got out. Check this out. This is Balls Out Bowling. An event invites bowlers to roll in the nude.
Oh, that has pain written all over it. Are they sure that's a good idea?
A Pennsylvania naturalism group announced bowlers will be able to roll in the nude at its upcoming Balls Out Bowling event. The Pittsburgh area naturalist group announced it has rented out Crafton Ingram Lanes in Pittsburgh. You know where that is.
Yeah.
For its Bowling in the Buff event on April 28th. Nudity is required, with the exception that women can wear bottoms. The group said on their event page, please bring a towel and a bag for your belongings. Anyone who wants to shed their clothes for a night of Balls Out Bowling needs to purchase a $25 ticket in advance. So, you know, take notes. Balls Out Bowling is the ultimate bowling experience for anyone who loves to have fun and show off their skills in the buff. The event is open to bowling fans of all skill levels who are over the age of 18. The group stressed that safety and privacy will be paramount during the event, with no photography or video recording allowed. Sexual activity is not permitted. Nudism does not equal consent, and harassment will not be taken lightly. Violators will be asked to leave.
I mean, if you can't go there to gawk at people, what's the point?
Well, you can gawk. You can't. I mean,
let's not be creepy. You can't take pictures.
But you can't take pictures or mm-hmm. photos. And then no getting it on.
Yeah. Balls Out Bowling, huh?
Yeah.
I guess you have to bring a towel because they don't want you to sit your naked butt down on the bowling chairs in between.
That's what I think when I see the nude guys walking around San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they walk into the Pete's that I go to, and like they're sweaty. And
ew.
Like, then they go to the bathroom and no. I'm like they're touching things and I'm just
gross.
Like, oh, gross. Put Speaking
some clothes
of gross.
On. Barf. This guy. Wait, before we get to him, can I just say, I saw a really funny text from Mars. It was about the last story. Pfft, a real Cambridge student would have only needed 1 hour, not seven. That's funny. Okay, this guy.
I went to Oxford. Mm.
We have another record. Another winning record setter. If you want to say winning. This guy decides that he really likes rabbits and tattoos of rabbits, okay? He likes he likes the juxtaposition between the soft, friendly, funny nature of bunnies and the hard, you know, usually you have a skull or a,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
And
tattoos.
I do have silent video if you want to talk over it.
I do.
Okay, check this out.
He is Welsh. Can you hear me still?
Yep.
He's Welsh. He has 69 rabbit tattoos. All the different kinds of rabbits. He's covered with bunnies. Because bunnies are his favorite animal. So who wouldn't want 69 different tattoos of rabbits all over your body? He's 42. He's been at this for a while. His name is Craig. He got his first rabbit tattoo in 2009, and now he has them on his arms, his legs, his chest. Rabbits everywhere. Clearly, like in real life, they've multiplied. 69 rabbits all over him. He said, "I love the aesthetic of a rabbit. They're such cute creatures, and the juxtaposition of getting something so cute as a tattoo, which usually is renowned for being a tough person's thing, is something I really like." He is not able to have his own pet rabbit, but he doesn't think that it would be a good pairing with his dog. But he does have them all over his body. So he takes the Guinness Book of World Record Award for the man with the most rabbit tattoos.
He can't have a pet
tattoos.
Rabbit. Is this due to a restraining order somehow?
No, it's because he has a dog.
Oh,
yeah.
He reminds me of Minerva, that character from the Animaniacs that like loves animals and smothers them.
Oh,
like,
God.
That's what I'm picturing here. Some crazy, crazy guy who loves rabbits.
I mean, just because you love something doesn't mean you have to tattoo it on every inch of skin.
If you love it, let it go.
It's not coming back to you, pal. No.
Speaking of bunnies... Mm-hmm. What's this story about Bad Bunny?
Oh, Bad Bunny was in San Francisco. You know, this is a
oh, that's the end of Weird News Wednesday.
A music artist, right. So he comes to San Francisco, and he apparently goes Western. He brings a horse.
So he's copying Beyonce.
Like a real live horse. He had a full orchestra. He had a real life horse up on stage.
I'm not okay with that.
No?
No.
Yeah, you don't want to see these animals used for entertainment.
The photo we have on the screen is feedback that they were getting online. Bad Bunny, using a horse as a prop for your tour is cruel and irresponsible. The horse, the fans, or you could have been hurt. I don't think it's right to use an animal like this in a loud, scary environment for the horse.
Yeah, and it kind of was, too. They played this soothing music with the orchestra for a few minutes. Then... it opened with his silhouette, and he stood in the middle of the stage and was surrounded by smoke. And there's a little Western boot, I guess, that was given to people that lit up. A lot of people wore Western style outfits. And I guess then there was a bunch of dancers that came out. And then the horse comes out. Yeah. So I don't know. I tend to not want to see animals for entertainment used for entertainment reasons either. But
yeah.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Oh, I have a correction. Let's see here. Mama points out, JD, her name's Elmira. I said Minerva, and she was on Tiny Toons. She was also on Animaniacs.
Oh.
There was a reboot because I think that was a classic character from the old Bugs Bunny days, and they brought her back for the Animaniacs.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Elmira. My bad. I'm sorry.
Talk to me about bed bugs.
Bed bugs and beyond. This is a this happened a few days ago, but I think it's rather disturbing. And MSNBC staffers scattered after bed bugs were found at their Manhattan headquarters ahead of Super Tuesday coverage. Everybody there was scrambling. According to a memo obtained by the New York Post, an unidentified insect was spotted Sunday in a recently revamped Studio 3A, home to a special election coverage and the Rachel Maddow Show. This is at 30 Rock in Midtown. Additional studios on the third floor were also shuttered out of an abundance of caution. At NBC, they said they're scrambling. They've been borrowing an unused local studio for some shows in recent weeks, so studio space is tight. The memo said an exterminator was brought in to treat the studio, green rooms, and control room. I'm going to spare you the photo of the bed bug. You don't need that. An environmental canine detection team will ensure that the remediation efforts were complete and will take an extra pass through extended areas of the newsrooms. I didn't know canines can detect bed bugs. Interesting.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So a source close to the network said the memo was sent out on Monday as part of wider communication, and the studio reopened an hour or so after the memo went out and the inspection was complete. But can you imagine?
Yikes. Let's go to Pamela Anderson, who says her sons were actually pretty horrified over her natural progression. So she's been doing this whole makeup-free thing. For so many years, we're used to seeing her with full makeup on, right? Every flaw covered. She has a certain persona, the blonde with a, contoured face and everything. Well, she had such a glammed up appearance for so many years that she decided at some point she just wanted to stop. So she ditched the signature look. She went to Paris Fashion Week without any makeup on. And then she talked about it last week. There was a an article in a lifestyle publication called Highs Nobiety. Yeah, that's what it's called. She said going makeup free has been part of her healing experience, that now she uses a more natural beauty routine. I think she looks great. She shared how the choice to get rid of her glam team made people closest to her, including her two sons, nervous. Her boys were like, "Mom, you must have a glam team." And my agents were like, "You have to have a glam team. Where's the stylist?" And I said, "I know how to put on a dress myself. I don't need someone buttoning up my blouse. I got this." And she said the people around her were absolutely horrified. Yeah, she said the look that made her famous was never authentic, which I think is really interesting to say, that you don't just look like that, right? You're made up to look that way. She
and
said,
that being
I was.
Said, I mean, people, I think it's okay for people to be surprised. It's not a negative. It's just that she chose to have that look, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not about whether or not you look good or bad. It's just like, well, you have to expect that people are not. And this reminds me, when I worked at KGO, I buzzed a lot of people into the ABC Broadcast Center that had nothing to do with what I was doing. And a lot of times there would be celebrities that came through and I didn't find out until later who it was.
Because they don't look like they do on the movie screen.
Without makeup on, a lot of women are not recognizable without the heavy makeup. And it is a thing. So, I mean, she kind of brought it on herself by doing it for all these years. I don't think it's a bad thing, right? It's just a surprise.
I don't think it warrants criticism.
No, not at all.
But again, let me say that. She said the look that made her famous was never authentic. That's not who she was. She said, "I was a tomboy growing up. I never wanted to wear a dress. I made mud pies. I was athletic." She said it was a style that wasn't hers that she had embraced. She said, "We all get roped into, oh, I want to be successful so I can have this and I can have this and show people."
Well, she did carry on with it long after Baywatch.
Yeah, she said, "I want to show people that I'm cool and chic and admired." And then we're left with debt and a fancy car. And then just like chasing age, you're not going to win. A life is less conclusive than that. So... yeah. I love how she's kind of being honest with herself.
Yeah,
and
it took her a while to come around to it, but I mean, good for her figuring
it out. Looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to quickly do this Taylor Swift story?
Yeah, we did talk about this on Nikki's show, but I think it warrants another repeat. For people that didn't hear this, Taylor Swift, it turns out, is related to Emily Dickinson. I think they're distant cousins, like six times removed.
Wow.
But I think it's kind of cool. CNN says, well, it was first announced on NBC's Today Show, but the article from CNN says Dickinson, who lived from 1830 to 1886, is of course known for her poems such as "Because I Could Not Stop for Death" and "Hope is the Thing with Feathers." She should have been a celebrity in her own time, but I think most of her poems weren't published till after she died.
Were they about her breakups?
No, they were not about her breakup, but they were about sadness, definitely. No.
Did she say, "I'm the problem, it's me"?
No, she didn't say that. Okay. She should have, though. Swift and Dickinson both descend from a 17th century English immigrant who is Swift's ninth great-grandfather and Dickinson's sixth great-grandfather, who was also an early settler of Windsor, Connecticut. Which is interesting. So, and even before we knew that there was some type of familial connection, Swifties have often made connections between the two women. Her album Evermore, Taylor Swift's album Evermore, was released on Dickinson's birthday. Some think it was inspired by Dickinson's poem, "One Sister Have I in Our House," which includes the word forevermore. So it's interesting how there's some connections there. Yeah.
Very cool. Let's see. This next story is about stress. Are you feeling stressed at all?
When are people not? Aren't we all feeling some kind of stress?
I generally have like manageable stress and I've developed coping mechanisms over the years. But this period of time, as I mentioned to you, I'm dealing with multiple legal issues on behalf of my family. As much as I try not to get stressed out, it's just so much going on that it ends up being like a background stress, even if I'm not conscious of it, and it interrupts sleep, right? So even though I'm not like actively stressed out, if that makes sense, there's like a background stress for me. So this is probably the most stressed I've been in a while. Residents of these 10 states are the most stressed out in America. New York and California didn't even make the list. That's surprising. More than a quarter of U.S. adults say that most days they are so stressed out that it's hard to function, according to the American Psychological Association's Stress in America poll. While some stress is normal and can actually be good for you, once stress reaches a chronic level, it can cause health problems like insomnia. There we go, John. Anxiety. There we go. And high blood pressure. Uh-oh, I better check. And a weakened immune system, according to the CDC. And residents of some states seem to be more stressed than others. This wellness brand, Kamowa, created a ranking of the most and least stressed states in America. The company compared U.S. states based on 16 key indicators of stress, including hours worked, credit card debt, divorce rates, commute times, and more. Here are the main four categories. Money stress, work stress, there you go, health stress, and family stress. Any family stress? I think I generally don't have family stress besides what we're dealing with.
I have family stress.
Family stress. It's hard. You got a family, you got stuff going on,
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, like even right now I'm thinking, okay, what do I have to do tonight? Tonight or today is, you know, one has already been picked up. I have to pick up the other one who has two missing assignments in English, and I have to figure out why that happened and, you know, have her make sure she emails the teacher to make sure everything's logged in on the grading system. Then we have to go to piano lessons. Like, there's just always something to do, and it's not bad stress necessarily.
No. But when it's people just say, not that obviously you've got multiple jobs, but for people who are just stay-at-home moms, that is a full-time job.
Oh, totally.
Like, yeah. You're like air traffic control on top of like you're managing like an entire family, right? That's a management position, right?
Busy. But I am married. I'm not doing it by myself, and but I
still
have help.
You got to hand off duties. You got to coordinate all that.
Like, Wednesday is the kids get out of school earlier, and I'm able to do the show with Mark and you because my husband went and picked my son up. Right. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure there are other people that have it more difficult, you know, and have it worse.
But I'm impressed with you because I am a single person and I only have a cat to take care of. And I am like
Archie
at my wit's end, trying to get everything done in one day. I don't know how you do it, how you do three shows. Surprisingly, New York and California didn't make the top 10 list. In fact, New York landed at the 24th spot and California came in at number 25. States were also ranked by individual categories, including the highest credit card debt and longest commute time. Mm-hmm. New York earned the top spot for longest commute with an average of 33.2 minutes, but actually didn't land at number one for the most hours worked. Residents of Louisiana seem to work the most with an average of 44.3 hours a week. Alaska earned the top spot for the highest credit card debt with an average of $7,338. And Wisconsin had the lowest credit card debt average at $4,808. The number one spot for the overall list of the most stressed states is Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Tennessee.
The volunteer state. What are they stressed out about in Tennessee?
They scored very high for the most health stress, coming in third place for the highest level of depression prevalence at 24.4%. 15.5% of residents also said their physical health isn't good for more than 14 days a month.
Right.
They also work more than average than the average American. State came in at number three for the most hours worked at 42.3. Tennessee also scored pretty low when it came to residents' yearly income and ability to work from home. So, like in your case, you're thankful that you're able to work from home,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, because it was trying to get from Petaluma to San Francisco that really stressed me out. That drive in the middle of the day with traffic and all kinds of stuff. But you know what I think? Why I think that I have a lot going on, but I'm not stressed out about it, is because right now I'm at this point in my life, everything I'm doing, I love, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love my children. I love being a mother and a wife. I also love doing these shows and being able to share stories and talk about things and have, I don't know, not necessarily that it's all joyful, but being able to bring some kind of joy. I just enjoy what I'm doing so much. And so even though it's work that I want.
Yeah. And you're grateful for that. Yeah. That's cool. Right. Here's the top 10 list. Tennessee, number one. Alabama, number two. Oklahoma, Louisiana, Nevada, South Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, West Virginia, and Indiana. Again, a lot of this is health. Alabama was number two, largely due to stress and health issues. Number three, Oklahoma, top spot for health stress, which can be directly linked to percentage of residents without health care. So depression and bad health plays a huge factor. And like, when you don't have the, you know, the privilege of being able to work from home and you have to go into work all day and you've got family and you've got health issues, you know, that can be really stressful.
Mama says, my oldest stresses me out. He seems to have been born without a conscience. Oh, no. I will say that I have had the same worries, Mama. And you just have to, you know, obviously, we keep teaching them right from wrong and we keep holding them to standards, right? And eventually they get it. They get it.
Portions Redacted saying, I once heard Dr. Phil, oddly, that stay-at-home mom actually works is equivalent of two full-time jobs. I believe that.
It's true. Yeah. Lori had something good to say about Pamela Anderson. Good for her. Imagine the time she saves daily. That's a perk of turning 50. Many people stop giving a crap what other people think. She should be admired for letting her authentic self shine. Yeah.
I'm sure she felt locked into it, right? Because she knew that people are not going to recognize her, right? That was the whole thing.
That's her. That's become who you are to the world.
Right.
Even if that's not who you are to yourself.
In a red bathing suit. Yeah. That's like burned into people's memories. Mm-hmm.
Message of support for Mama. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Wes saying, I would think that the Bay Area would be high stress. Yeah, I think we're healthier, I think, in California. And we have resources at a lot of places in the country. They just don't have the resources and they don't have the ability to the wherewithal to be able to pay for certain things, right?
I wonder if there's more financial stress here than other places. I mean, I know that pay is higher here for most people. Not for me. but I feel like the financial stress on people that are struggling in the Bay Area to make it, maybe that's an increased level of stress here. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're looking at overall numbers state by state.
Right.
But of course, you're going to have the whole spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Of people that are struggling to get by and people who are super affluent. I heard these Gen Z people on the train the other day. And they were bitching about their six-figure salaries, and they're like 21 years old. And they were talking about, I need to leave. I'm only making $110,000. And I'm like, you're 21 years old. Like, you just graduated from college. But there's this sense of entitlement. I overhear so, I'm sure you can imagine the douchiest conversation, especially when I was a Lyft driver, Uber driver.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do they still have that thing remember the Chronicle used to have that Leah Garchick column? Where it was overheard today, and she would talk about, you know, on conversation that she overheard, and they were always kind of a snapshot of what
she retired in 2022, and I don't have my Chronicle subscription from KGO anymore.
Oh, that's a bummer. I used to enjoy reading those. Maybe we should do that with you, conversations John overheard segment.
Mm-hmm. There's so many disturbing things, just on public transit alone. Like, and you're not trying to like overhear conversations, but people are loud. I don't know if you notice this, but people are loud, especially the people that blare their speakerphone all day long.
Because people stopped for the most part being conscientious of other people around them. Like, we're in the society together. Chill out and quiet down. Simmer
down.
And
you know who is conscientious? People like Wes with a $5 super sticker. People like Deborah, $10. Angel in the Bay Area, Kitty Food, $10 for Archie. And we have ongoing contributors, Kim.
Prakash S., Karen K., Jim S., Pamela K. All so appreciated your contribution to the After Party Live. We have a lot coming up tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is Trivia Thursday, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
We'll have
an animal story about hybrid pigs. It's all coming tomorrow
on
the After Party Live.
Bye, you guys.
Bye. Have a great afternoon.